Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today is December 25th, 2014, Christmas Day. And I'm so glad you joined us tonight at NoBetterWay.net. My name is Rudy Zablocki. I'm just a truck driver from Bartlett, Illinois, who loves the Lord and wants to serve Him. Today's show is titled, Wise Men Still Seek Him. Tonight's reflection verses come from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who that received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst men. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. So my dear friends, over 2,000 years ago, Jesus came as a newborn babe, born of a virgin, fulfilling Scripture, yet many did not recognize him, and they did not receive him. Much of the Old Testament prophecies prophesies about a coming Savior. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it reads, But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. And in the NIV footnote, ancient times refers to the days of eternity. So the book of Micah is describing a coming king from the days of eternity. This eternal king has come on Christmas Day. And Christmas Day may be December 25th, or some historians have said that Jesus was probably born in September. But regardless of what that Christmas Day was, this king has come, and he was born of a virgin, and he was sent at a specific time. And he was called Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 7:14 reads, Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So God's Old Testament word was foretelling of a coming Savior. All the way back to Genesis, when Adam and Eve fell from the garden, Genesis 3:15 reads, And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So all the way back to the time of Adam and Eve and the fall of man, God has promised to restore man's relationship with God, to save him by sending his son, Jesus. So my question to you folks is, just as the wise men heard about a coming king of Israel, they searched for him. They were guided by a heavenly light. They brought their generous hearts and their gifts of great value. Just as the wise men saw the star, the sign in the sky, and traveled to find a king and worship him, I ask you, what about your heart? Do you seek this king, this child called Jesus, who was born of a virgin? He lived a sinless life, proclaimed God's grace and truth. This God-man, this Son of God, this Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world, are you a wise man or woman, or a wise girl or boy who has come to know this Jesus? Do you follow him, this precious, beautiful baby Jesus, born of humble means, amongst the shepherds and the sheep, this little baby Jesus, born of a Virgin Mary, who one day, 33 years later, these tiny hands and feet would be brutally pierced, his body beaten till it was disfigured, his precious blood shed for you and me? Are you a wise man or woman seeking this King Jesus? Are you seeking to serve and worship him? In the first book of Corinthians, chapter 1:18, it says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it's the power of God." So are you a wise fool for Christ, despite what the world says? In the book of Corinthians, it says that the same Holy Spirit power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to us. So this Savior, hopefully I can call him our Savior, your Savior, he wants to empower us. He wants us to follow him, and he wants to give us this blessed Holy Spirit power to live a powerful, beautiful life following Jesus. So the Lord, he has a precious gift for you today, this Christmas day. Jesus came, this baby Jesus, he came ultimately to die. His death paid the price for the sin of the world. And yet on the third day he rose from the dead and he defeated death. He absolutely defeated death. He could not be held down. And as John the Baptist proclaimed when he saw Jesus walking to the Jordan River to be baptized, "Behold the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world." Yes, Jesus has a precious gift of salvation offered to everyone. So I say today, if you're not saved, if you're not following Christ, I say today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised for anyone. So I ask you out there, we're all sinners, and I ask, repent of your sins, turn from your sins, proclaim Jesus as your Savior, ask him into your heart and follow him. This would most definitely make you a wise man or woman. Amen. Okay, we're going to take a little break right now. I'm going to play a song, "Mary, Did You Know?" And when I get back, I'll take some calls. Thank you. love that song. I like when the singer says, "Mary, did you know when you kissed that little baby child, you kissed the face of God?" Wow. And I'm just sitting here thinking about, you know, Christmas, the special time, family getting together, sharing gifts. But tonight I'm talking about the most special gift, that gift of Jesus to the world. Yeah, he came as a little baby, but he came to die for you and me. And I am so thankful. Sometimes I don't understand all of God's ways, but I know one thing. He is a loving, giving, wonderful God, and I am thankful for his wonderful plan of salvation, which was something meant to be simple. So it's a beautiful offer to the world. And some accept it and some reject it. And my prayer is today that you are one that has accepted the gift of salvation. And you say today that Jesus is your Savior. Amen. And it's not always an easy time, these holidays. As we, we live our lives, we will lose loved ones. And this has been a rough year for myself. My dear Judy, my wife, died in May 20th. And I miss her dearly. And especially today on Christmas, I went to breakfast this morning with my stepdaughter and stepson. And coming home, it was quite emotional, because I realized that ride home was by myself, not with my wife. But I can tell you assuredly that my wife had saving faith in Jesus. And one day soon, I will see her. She'll greet me at the gates in heaven. Amen. I'm going to give you that number to call. I'd love for someone to call in. You've got a Christmas story to tell. Maybe something about where you were able to share your faith, or how you came to Christ, or just a beautiful story about that really touched you or changed your life. Okay, the number, 347-989-0095. I'd love to have you call in. We're all friends here. Today's Christmas. Lines are open, and we're all friends, and I'd love to hear from you. Well, while I am waiting, I'm going to do some readings, some Christmas readings. I was thinking about reading some people that were great servants of the Lord. One of the great servants of the Lord was Mary, the mother of Jesus, the Virgin Mary, who gave birth. And I was reading through the book of the Gospel of Luke, and this is, talking about the birth of Christ and our coming Savior. And Mary had gone to visit her. She had gone to visit Elizabeth, and Elizabeth was pregnant with John, and John the Baptist. And when Mary had come to visit Elizabeth, and the baby John was in Elizabeth's womb, he could feel the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb, and he actually leaped in the womb for joy. So wow, that's quite a story there. So after she visits Elizabeth, she praises God, and there's the some people call it the Magnificat. This is in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Starting with verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble." I'll read that again. "But he has lifted up the humble He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. So Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So you could see Mary's great faith. She was proclaiming some wonderful things, and she was driven by the Holy Spirit, the words that she was proclaiming. And I love where it says in verse 52, but has lifted up the humble. So God has, he exalts the humble, right? And he humbles the proud. And then the next verse, he has filled the hungry with good things, right? For those who hunger for the Lord, for hunger for the things of God, to know and to, you know, to follow and wanting to know about the ways of God, reading his word, he will fill you with good things. But yet he'll send the rich away empty, the rich that have things of this world, they're of the world, of the worldly things. He will send them away empty. They'll never be fulfilled. So those are wonderful words. And I'm going to move on here, and I'm going to stay in Zechariah. And this is Zechariah's song. He is doing a proclamation also when he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened to Zechariah when he was told, because Zechariah and Elizabeth, his wife, they were up there in the years, and the angel came and told Zechariah that they were going to have a child. And he doubted. He didn't believe, so the angel shut up his he couldn't speak. So he was silenced during the pregnancy. And then finally, the Holy Spirit opened up his mouth, and he made this prophecy. And this is Zechariah, this is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, starting with verse 67. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and into the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel." And so Zechariah was talking about his son-to-be, John the Baptist. And he was saying that his child will be a prophet of the Most High, and he will prepare a way for the Lord. And I remember Jesus later on talking about John the Baptist. He called him the greatest prophet ever born of woman. So what a compliment. And John the Baptist proclaimed boldly. And when he saw Jesus, when he came to the Jordan River, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world." He knew this was the Savior. Okay, let me give you that number again. 347-989-0095. Love to have you call. Another godly man with great faith is Simeon. And Simeon had he had been in the temple. He was a rabbi. And I'll start in Luke chapter 2, starting in starting with verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout man. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Simeon was saying that Mary would have she would have a broken heart. There was a time coming where her heart would be broken. Of course, he was referring to the crucifixion, where mother of Jesus would have to endure the crucifixion and the pain, and it would be such a piercing time for her heart. Okay, and as we move down, there was also another holy woman. She was called a prophetess. There was a prophetess, this is starting with verse 36 from chapter 2 of Luke. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So this woman, Anna, she finally, she had prayed and prayed and was faithful to God for all these years. She was just married for 7 years. So say if she got married at 17 and her husband died at 24, she was faithful to God, worshiping and praying for 60 years. And then she saw Jesus. And so once she saw Jesus and knew that the Savior had been born, she went out and proclaimed the gospel, had told everyone she saw that the redemption of Jerusalem had arrived, had come. So those are two godly, wonderful people. And both of them had a patience, their faith was so patient, waiting and waiting for the salvation of Israel. And finally it came. And then when it came, they proclaimed it. So is there some time in our lives where God is asking us to wait and wait and wait, and then finally the time comes, and then we need to act and, act in faith, whatever God's will is. So sometimes God does ask us to be patient, and sometimes we just don't understand, and that's what faith's all about. But we know we have Jesus, right? Amen. I'll give that number again, 347-989-0095. Well, I guess it could be just a quiet night because it is Christmas. Everyone's with family, so I understand that. I'm going to play another song. I have so much to be thankful for this Christmas. Thankful for first of all, for Jesus, my Savior, and all he does for me, all the blessings in my life. And I'm going to play a song. It's called Give Thanks. So I hope you enjoy. Welcome to NoBetterWay.net. Merry Christmas.
Hello there.
Hey, Dave. Dave, I'm going to keep you online. I have another call I want to take, okay? And you just stay there,
all right.
Okay?
No all problem. Right.
Okay, thank you. Welcome to NoBetterWay.net. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Rudy, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Hey, good evening. This is your adopted nephew, Samuel. Hey, Merry Christmas again to you.
Samuel, Merry Christmas to you, too. Had a good time at Shirley's house today. That was a nice time with family.
Oh, I remember that. Hey, I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, as Christians, I think, you know, it's so easy that, you know, when times get rough and, you know, times are hard, we kind of, you know, want to shrink into our shell and we want to hide away and we kind of want to, you know, throw a pity party. And I just want to give a testimony just to you. You know, Christmas is, you know, such a family, you know, dominated time. And, you know, I couldn't even imagine losing my wife. And just, you know, what a testimony you are to just your risen Savior, that you are so willing to, you know, still be with family, still love on family. And I just want to read you a verse. It's James 4:8. It says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And I just sense that, you know, God is so close to you at this time, really, that, you know, he is your strength, he is your salvation. And just through your, you know, radio show, just everything you do, you know, you are just a massive encouragement to, you know, people that are listening. So, you know, just be blessed tonight, brother, and just know that, your God is close to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Those were great words, too, to draw close. As, you know, he will draw close to us. Yeah, those are wonderful words, and thanks for the encouragement. You know, I'm, you know, sometimes it's not easy, Sam. I went to breakfast, you know, over at Dave and Pam's house this morning, and it was a rough ride coming home because, you know, I would have liked to been with my bride, you know, but, you know, so there's rough times, but I know the good Lord's with me, and, you know, he blesses me every day.
Oh, amen. Yeah, and he uses you to bless others, so. Yeah, we're so thankful for you that you're part of our family. And, yeah, we just love you, Matt.
I love you, Sam. Thank you.
Hey, cool. Well, have a great evening. I'll enjoy the rest of the show.
Okay, thanks. And thank you for calling in. And, again, Merry Christmas, Sam.
Hey, Merry Christmas. Have a blessed night. Bye, Rudy.
Bye-bye. Hello, David. Thank you for calling in. Merry Christmas to you and to Missy and Nora. It's good to hear from you.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hopefully you had a good day.
Yeah, I did. Busy, but it was a good day. You know, I went to breakfast this morning by David and Pam's house, and then I went by my sister-in-law Shirley and brother-in-law John's house, and, you know, we had dinner at, you know, together with family. So it was good. It was very good. How about you? Did you have a nice Christmas?
Yeah, it was good. Good times. We went to the park for a little while because the weather's nice, and then we went and hung out with some friends from church. So it was a nice day. Nice day indeed. So I'm imagining you're talking about the Christmas story tonight.
Well, I thought of it this way, Dave. I thought about the wise men and how, you know, the wise men came to find the King of Israel, right? They sought him out. The light led them to the Savior. You know, they went there to give gifts and to worship. And so my title today is Wise Men Still Seek Him. So what I'm basically saying is if you seek the Lord, you are very wise. Amen?
Yeah. I mean, if there's only one way to be saved, one way to receive forgiveness, and you seek after that way. That shows a lot of wisdom. If you look at it, you know, it's like I said yesterday in a message, I said, you know, in the Superman world, it's like someone's tied to the train tracks and tied with some rope that's unbreakable, and there's a train steaming in on them, and someone says, I got some good news. Superman's here. And Superman was the only one in the Superman world that could save this person. And in the real world, we're tied. We're tied up. We're slaves to sin. We're guilty of sins, and because of that, we face punishment and God's wrath for that. But in the real world, God chose to send us a real Savior in Jesus, and God's Son came down to the earth, and He didn't have to do that, but that was God's will, is to save us because He loves us. And He came and lived a perfect life and suffered abuse, physical and verbal abuse and false accusations from the people that, you know, God created are mistreating the Son of God now, and then kill Him on the cross, and Jesus dies willingly for our sins. So God tells us we can be saved through Jesus, and just like in the Superman world, only Superman could save. In the real world, only God can save, and He does it through Jesus. So wisdom is going to Him, the only one that could save you. Go in there. That's wise for sure.
I'm searching for the verse, but Jesus says, you know, He talks about the end times, and He says in the end times, knowledge will increase, but wisdom will decrease. So we'll have all, like today, you know, we have all this wonderful technology, all these comforts, right? We have all these things. A lot of it is really junk, but how many people have that wisdom, right? I mean, what greater wisdom than is to know Jesus? You know, come to faith, right, and to know Him as your Savior. But yet the world, you know, like 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. For those who are saved, it's the power of God. But yet people look at the message, you know, like a Christian, a Jesus follower, you know, a Jesus freak, and they look at it, and these guys, and they're like, you know, mocking us and laughing, say, these guys are fools. But, you know, it's really the reverse. We are truly wise.
Yeah, and I think people are thinking, people get prideful with all the knowledge that they have, and people are thinking their way away from what's really true, you know. It's like, you know, they don't want to believe that God's word is true because some scientists told them it can't be true, or they don't want to believe it can be true because other people don't like how there's only one way to God. But we should be grateful that there is a way to God and to be saved. And so that's the world is, you know, under the traps of Satan and have fallen under his lies. And we just pray for wisdom for people, that they'll see Jesus for who He truly is. They'll see how much He loves them. They see how much He desires to save them if they'll only turn to Him. And it takes the help of God for people to even be able to see how much He loves them.
Wouldn't you say, Dave, that to come to Christ, to come to faith, and without the Holy Spirit, you know, it's impossible for men to understand these things, right? I mean, faith in Christ, that type of life, it's a miracle. It really is.
Yeah, and I think that's why I think God is seeking after people to save them. He desires to save. God, the scriptures say that God desires that all men be saved. So He's calling out to us, in various ways to show us His love and show us His greatness and how much He cares for us and desires us to be saved. But I think we do need God to open our hearts to believe. I think the best thing that people that are listening in, and all people, all of us can do, is to be humble, is to admit to God, you know, I'm messed up, I'm a sinner, I need you to save me, I need you to show me what's true, I need you to show me how to be wise, I need you to show me how to be faithful. And if you take that kind of a posture, you're in a good place to really hear from God.
Amen. Yeah. It's amazing how, you know, Jesus, what he exalts the humble and he humbles the proud. You're just talking about how we, you know, need to humble ourselves, you know, and ask God for that wisdom, you know, that truth, because, you know, without him, we're going to seek our own ways. And when we start going down that road, that's when we get in trouble.
Yeah. If there's anyone that deserves to be praised all the time and to think that they're awesome because they are awesome, it's God. And even God, the Son of God, humbled himself and was born on the earth and suffered and lived a sacrificial life and died a sacrificial death. And for us to just be prideful and think we're above needing God is just crazy. God gave us a perfect example how to be humble and how to live sacrificially and love sacrificially and how to you know, live according to how he calls us to. And through faith in Jesus, we can live that life. But you have to be humble, because if you're prideful, there's no way.
I'm going to read, Dave. I was reading in the book of Philippians, talks about Christ's humility, kind of relevant to what you were just saying, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
It said, your attitude should be the same. This is in Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so,
yeah.
So here is the Son of God, the God-man, humbling himself. So how much more should, you know, we should come humbly, you know, to that cross every day.
Yeah. I think more and more, if I think about what it means to live how God calls us to and how God desires to and how God deserves for us to live, I think combination package would be like wise and humble. If someone's wise and humble, they're going to live hook. They're going to live a godly life through God's power. Because if you're wise, then, you know, if you're wise, because that means that you know God's ways and you live according to them. And if you're humble, then you realize that I'm a sinner, that I can't do this on my own, that I can't do what God calls me to do or do it how he calls me to unless he helps me through his Spirit. So if you're both wise and humble, there's a good chance you could be on the right track to following Jesus how he calls us to. And so like you said, wise men still seek him because wise men know who they are. Wise men are honest about who they are, that they're sinners. Wise men admit that they're totally desperate to be saved. And wise men are willing to give glory to God and live to worship him because he's worthy.
Yeah. And I was thinking of, you know, when you think of wise men, you usually think of older people, right? Like a older gentleman or older woman that has all this wisdom, which is true in some ways, you know, that some people that have lived a long life. So I was just, you know, but as far as a Christian, sometimes, you know, you could be a young believer and very wise, and yet be an older non-believer that pretends to be wise, but yet if he has not Christ, I would call him a fool.
Yeah, I mean, to not give, when God graciously offers you salvation through his Son,
yeah,
and to reject that, it's certainly not a sign of wisdom. So, yeah, I mean, wisdom is a gift from God, because the scriptures call us to pray for wisdom. The book of James here, it was referred to earlier on your show, it tells us to pray to God for wisdom. So if we're going to be wise, it's because we're going to have it as a gift from God. So God determines what is wise and what isn't, and tells us in his word. So, I mean, the world might consider certain things as wise, but if God doesn't consider it wise, it's not wise at all.
Yeah. So if it's unbiblical, if it goes against God's ways, God's word, then you have to say that it's not wise, although the world may think so. Yeah.
Yeah, you don't really... Typically, you don't want to be on the side of the world. Occasionally, the world will have ideas of what's right. The general public might have ideas of what's right, like it's not right to kill or it's not right to steal and stuff like that, because God puts within all people a general idea of his what's right or wrong, you know. But typically, society is going to get a lot of things wrong because they're not living according to God's word. They're not living with fear, with the fear of God, with respect for God. So, you know, if you're fitting in really well with society, it's probably a good chance that, you know, we need to reexamine our lives, because God's way looks a whole lot different than the world's way,
yeah,
in pretty much every avenue of life.
So you're saying, Dave, that there's going to be times where our ways, you know, if we're following God, we're gonna bump heads with the world. I mean, we're gonna get some people a little ticked off, or you know, we're gonna rock their boats. There's gonna be a confrontation. I mean, even Jesus said that if you'll follow him, that you'll even, you know, things will be being rocked in, even in your family, right? Brother, sister, father, mother, right? You know, so if you're living according to God's ways, following him, there will be times where, you know, you'll be in a battle.
Yeah, scriptures make it clear that you'll be persecuted. If you follow Christ, you'll be persecuted. If he was hated, we'll be hated. If he was persecuted, we'll be persecuted. And also, scriptures say to expect suffering. So, I mean, it's not going to be a cakewalk, but like you said, what the show is about tonight, and the wise thing is to follow Christ, because that's the way to true life. It's the only way to salvation. God never says it's easy, but it's the only way to salvation. And you could do things how the world does it. People could choose to do that, and maybe more people will like you. Maybe you'll find less resistance or less teasing from people. But in the end, you'll be separated from God forever. So what is that worth? You know, it's like the world will try to pat you on the back when they like you and when they need you, but they'll turn their back on you quick. Follow Jesus. He's never going to turn from you. You have an eternal relationship with him. And I'd much rather hear good, well done, good and faithful servant, from Jesus than have a bunch of people patting me on the back who might in the next breath be turning on me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you watched, what was the movie, just came out recently, God Is Not Dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the verses that the young man was given by the pastor, and also by I can't think of his name now. That one guy from the show. But Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then
And no such thing as a private Christian.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So, I was going to...
No, I was going to read on just a few more. That's where I talked about mother against daughter and, you know, father against son. It says, do not suppose I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. So, not saying that every family is going to be at war, because, you know, you pray to God that, you know, you live in a family that everyone is a believer. But Jesus, you know, he states it in extreme at times.
And a lot of times that is the case. I mean, there's a lot of cultures, people from different faiths, where if they accept Christ, their family is going to disown them. Or some people might be from an unchristian family and they turn to Christ, and the rest of the family just kind of disowns them because of that. I mean, Jesus makes it clear here. Our allegiance is to Him. Wise people, they're full allegiance to Him, and He's worthy to be followed. And if you put anything above Him, I mean, it's not going to really work. If you put family above Jesus, if you put friends above Jesus, if you put your own personal pleasure above Jesus, that's just idols. And you wind up worshiping of false idols, you know, putting anybody above God, and it's gonna make it impossible to follow Him. So that's why He calls us number one. Everything's about Jesus. We have to be willing to sacrifice anything and everything He calls us to for Him. And thankfully, He's good, and He gives us good blessings in our lives and wants what's best for us. But it's not easy to follow Him, but sure is wise.
Yeah. And I like the words where Jesus says, I have come so that you'd have life and have a more abundant life. And I just love those words, because it just says that this is a better way, you know, a better life to live. You know, I've come, and, you know, it may not seem so at the beginning, but I will show you a more abundant, joyful life, you know, living for Christ.
Yeah, I think anytime you gather a group of people, there are probably people that are hesitant to really give Jesus their full life. You know, they might say the words, yeah, I believe that about Jesus, they died for my sins and rose again, or yeah, I think that's probably true, but never really given their whole lives over to Him, because they're scared to lose out on certain sins or whatever, or just they don't realize how serious of a commitment it is. But Jesus calls us to give Him our all, and be certainly wise to do that before while one's still on the earth, because everyone's going to eternity, and we pray for everyone to believe in Jesus so they can be with Him forever.
Amen. Well, Dave, you know, the time has flown by. I'm winding down. I got the last 5 minutes here. So, I just pray that everyone out there, that they are wise, and that they do choose and seek Jesus and follow Him. Because like my website, there is no better way. Amen.
Yeah, that's definitely for sure. And Merry Christmas to you, Dad, and love you, and thanks for doing the show, and I pray that many people are blessed through it, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Oh, Lord, my God. thy power.